Let's say this together. Thank you, Lord, that your healing power is working in me now. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? It's wonderful. He's a wonderful, unchanged healer. Well, we need to finish some things up. And actually, I went over your exam and we've covered everything really good. So we're not going to have a whole big review. It's a lot of the basics that we've touched on and touched on and touched on. But I will give you a basic review at the end. But we're going to continue with our teaching here on the benefits of prayer in the Spirit. Or speaking in tongues or praying in the Holy Ghost, however you want to say it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this hour. Thank you for all that you've taught us during this term and this class on the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you today. That the eyes of the students' understanding would be enlightened even more today to know and to be filled with the knowledge of your will. In Jesus' name, we'll give you the glory, and I thank you for it. Amen. Well, we're talking about benefits. How many of you like benefits? You know, when you thought you got saved, you thought, well, I get to go to heaven. Amen. But there's a lot of benefits to that, to being a Christian, to knowing the Lord. Not only do you make heaven, but there's benefits for the here and the now. Amen. Amen. Are y'all okay? You didn't lose your joy since you got healed, did you? The key to having more of God is to, one of the keys is this, be really thankful when he does something for you. If you scoff and fluff and blah at his, you know, blessings, he's not going to be inspired to do anything else for you either. Amen. It's like if you cook your husband his favorite meal and he doesn't say a word. Well, tomorrow you get leftovers, buddy. Amen. Well, we don't want leftovers. We want God's best. He says he daily loads us with benefits, the psalmist said. And we want those benefits and those blessings and God to continue to minister to us. We need to be thankful and say thank you to the Lord. All right, so be thankful and be ready. So first of all, we said one of the first benefit of praying in other tongues is edify yourself spiritually, building up yourself on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Secondly, we said it is a means or a way that we can get help in our worship of God. The Holy Spirit will help us, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, when you speak in tongues, you bless with the Spirit, and truly you give thanks well. Amen. So that's one of our scriptures there. Thirdly, we saw, especially from Romans 8, 26 and 1 Corinthians 14, that praying in tongues is an assist and a help to us in our prayer life. That the Holy Ghost will take hold together with us and help us to pray the perfect will of God. It's a way to get selfishness out of our praying. It's a way to get our own will and our own thinking out of our praying. And it's also a way to pray for things that we wouldn't know either how to pray for or even that they need prayer. Speaking of prayer, I don't know how many of you have been made aware of this, but one of your classmates is having a challenge right now. Our brother Etuate from Tonga, his father passed away the night before last. His dad is a pastor and helped us tremendously during our trip over there to our recruiting trip to Tonga. Blessed Brother Warren, helped us, introduced us to people. Also even got our DVD that we have of the school was played on their Christian TV station over and over. Brother Warren was speaking on the TV station. So did a lot to help us. That was our very first trip ever to Tonga. And so he was a tremendous blessing to us. But Etuate left at 7 o'clock this morning on the flight to go home. And he's going to be coming back. And we just said, take whatever time you need. So keep him and his family in your prayers. Whenever you see or recognize that he's not around, remember him. Just say, Lord, just we thank you for it. Let's pray for him right now. I've been praying for him, but as his class. Amen. You're his classmates. Amen. Lord, we just pray for Etuwate right now, his family, the church there in Tonga, everybody involved. Lord, as he's traveling now to be acquainted and reunited with his family for the funeral, we just pray that you would strengthen him, bless him, manifest yourself to him, Lord, and just comfort him by the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Strengthen him in his spirit. Strengthen him in his mind. Cause him, Lord, to go back during this time and to be a great help and a blessing and a support to his whole family. We bless them in the name of Jesus and ask that your hand and your presence would be strong on them during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And so to pray for things. And then number four now, our fourth benefit, and this is kind of two together. I'll separate them a little bit, but that praying in tongues or praying in the Holy Ghost is a way to exercise faith and learn to yield to God. It's a way to exercise faith and learn to yield to God. Speaking in other tongues, praying in the Spirit, it is a way to exercise your faith, and it will help you learn to yield to God. Now, why does it help us exercise our faith? I'm not saying it doesn't give you faith, but it is a faith exercise. Why is that? Because every time you open your mouth to speak, you have to trust, which is another word for faith, trust the Lord or have faith that the Lord is going to give you the very next word. It's a faith exercise, speaking in tongues. It's a way to practice trusting the Lord. Many of you are going to be in the ministry, in the preaching and teaching ministry. Well, when you get up to speak, even when you speak in your own known tongue, you have to trust the Lord for the words to say. Well, this is a way to practice hooking up your spirit and your tongue. That sounds a little bit funny, but when you get up to preach in the pulpit, you don't talk out of your head. You preach out of your heart. You preach out by the Spirit of God. You got to talk from here, not from here. You know, a lot of people preach from their mentality, but that's not what we're going to train you to do here. We're going to teach you to minister out of your spirit, out of your heart, by the Holy Ghost when you pray and when you minister. So speaking in tongues, it's a way that you can continually practice speaking by inspiration, trusting God for the words. Amen. You know, this is a Bible training center. We're training you for the ministry. We're not going to teach you how to give a three-point message. We're going to teach you how to give the word of the Lord to that group at that time. That whatever God wants to say through you to that group will come out. Well, for that to happen, you've got to be able to speak from your heart, not out of your head. You don't, why? Because you're not called to minister to people's heads. You got to speak to their hearts. So it's a heart from the heart of God through your heart to their hearts. Amen. And so we learn that flow of speaking out of our mouth inspired words. And this is a great way to practice that, yielding to God. And in the same time, in the same process, you're exercising faith. Jude said, you build yourself up on your most holy faith when you pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Again, I just want to emphasize, praying in tongues does not give you faith. It strengthens your faith. It builds your faith up. It exercises your faith. You know, they tell us that everybody has about the same amount of muscles, and you get them when you're born. But through working and physical exercise, you develop those muscles that you already have. Yeah, how many of you know who Arnold Schwarzenegger is? The Terminator. You know, what else was he? He wasn't Rambo, was he? No, that was Stallone, I think, or something. But anyways, you know, the Terminator. Conan the Barbarian. You know the guy, Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's now the governor of California. Did you know that? And he was Mr. whatever, Mr. Universe, Mr. All World or whatever in bodybuilding. That's how he got his start in acting. But you know, when he was a little boy, he had the same amount of muscles that he did when he was Mr. Universe. They just weren't developed to their full potential. So you got faith, but you need to exercise your faith by using it, and then it will get stronger and stronger. Amen. Got to build it up. Praying in tongues is a way to build up your faith by exercising, by exercising. Because why? Because every time I brandish te mandrosto, I have to trust and yield. Trust him for the word, yield my tongue to him. Amen. And so, that's what it is. It's an exercise of faith, trust, dependence on him to give you words, but then not just sitting around thinking about it, doing something. And that takes a yieldedness. Yieldedness, maybe you're not so familiar with the word yield. Yield literally means to give in. You know, if you're driving your car and you see a yield sign, that means you got to let other people go in front of you. Or if you come over to the circle here, if somebody's already in the circle, you don't go in front of them. You yield to whoever's in the circle, and then you yield to the car that's coming from your left side. You know, it's so funny, because in the States, the rule is you yield to the person on your right. So when I go back to the States, I'm always trying to let the people on my left go. They get so mad at me. And then when I'm over there for a while, I come back here and I try out to yield to the right, and people honk their horn. What's wrong with you? Trying to cause an accident. But that's what yielding is. You see that they're there and you let them go in front of you. Yielding to the Holy Spirit is when he wants to do something, you allow him to. You allow, you let, you give in, you give place, you submit. Amen. You yield yourself. So that's why when you pray in tongues, you don't try too hard, just yield. Amen. Give in, give place, allow him to give you the words, and then you speak it out. And so we learn to yield, and yielding to God in one area will make it easier for you to yield to him in other areas. Here's another way to describe yielding. Say yes. Amen. Obey. Say yes. If the Lord, if he's prompting you, yes, yes, yes. Like today with what we were doing, we had the praise and worship team again. They had a whole bunch of songs ready to go this morning. But I said, we're going to do something else. So they yield. Yes. And we had plans for this morning, but the Lord wants to do something else. We say, yes. You want to write this in your notes. Get in the habit of saying yes to God. That whatever he says, your answer is yes. Remember that old song? Yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. A good song. It's like a prayer. It's like a confession. It's like a promise you're making to the Lord. Whatever your spirit says, my answer is already yes. So that's why I didn't go into the ministry for a long time. 10 years I said no. Because I know if I say, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be what you want me to be. My answer will be yes. I knew he was going to send me to Africa. And I would have to be a missionary in Africa. And I don't want to be a missionary. And I don't want to go to Africa. I want to stay home by my mom and dad. Amen. And work in the family business. That's what I want to do. So I was singing, no, Lord, no, to your will and to your way. No, Lord, no, I don't trust you, I won't obey. When your spirit speaks to me with my whole heart, I'll disagree. And my answer will be, no, Lord, no. And guess what? When your answer is, no, Lord, no, then he doesn't work in your life. Then you don't get into his will for your life. You say, well, if the Lord calls you, you can't say no, Brother Gally. Oh, yeah, you can. Jesus had to struggle to say yes. Because he didn't want to do the will of God. He said, what? Yeah. He said, not my will. I don't want to do this. But your will be done. So we say yes to whatever he has. So say, Lord, it doesn't matter what comes out of your mouth or what directions you give me. I'll already say yes. I won't even think about it. My answer will be yes. And that's yielding. That's giving place. So you want to get in the habit of saying yes to God, because in this area of tongues, it's really good because you practice giving in. You practice saying yes. You practice submitting your will, your body, your words, your speaking to his inspiration. And if you can yield your tongue, what did the Bible say about the tongue? The tongue is an unruly member, set on fire by hell. Amen. Remember what James said. He said, but if a man doesn't err in what he says, he is a perfect man and can control his whole body. Yielding your tongue is awesome. Because if you can get your tongue right, you can get your whole life right. It's amazing. And when you get in the habit of saying yes to God, yes to God, you become easy for the Lord to work with. You know, when the Lord looks down at New Caledonia and says, I want to do something in New Cal. I got something I need to do. I need somebody to do it. Who do I know in New Caledonia that always obeys? That says yes. That yields. Oh, there they are. Those three Rhema grads. Then you say, Ananias. Say, yes, Lord. Go into the house of Simon, the tanner, in the street called Straight. He says, there's a guy there praying. He's had a vision. He's already seen you coming in. Ananias was just a disciple who was available, who the Lord already knew. He didn't say Ananias, and Ananias didn't say like Saul did, who are you, Lord? Said Ananias, he said, yes, Lord. He already knew the voice of God. He already knew how to give in and obey. Don't think that the Lord picks people by accident. He picks people he knows. People who are dedicated, people who are committed, people who are yielded already. Why does God always use them and he never uses me? It's not fair. You find out because they're willing and obedient. But if you can yield to God in one area, you can yield to him in another. You know, there's going to be a day in your life where the Lord is going to ask you to do something big. Amen. Like raise the dead. Like pray for them for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Like go and tell that person to rise up and walk out of their wheelchair. This is what you're training for. But if you can't say yes in the Lord saying, I want you to jump and shout. Amen. Or speak in other tongues. Or witness to your neighbor. Or give five talah to your roommate. Amen. If you won't say yes in those areas, don't expect to be used in anything else either. What would you do? Are you ready to pull somebody out of a wheelchair right now? Amen. We said, well, if I was sure it was the Lord, I would do it. Well, how do you get sure? By learning to work with him. By yielding, by obeying, by trusting. And if you can trust him to say what he wants you to say, we said some of these basic things, give what he tells you to give, go where he wants you to go. You know, maybe the Lord will prompt you to say, you know, you'll just feel like I feel like I should call my brother so-and-so and just encourage him. Ah, that's just me. Oh, I'm not. You talk yourself out of it. You say no. Guess what? He doesn't get encouraged and you don't grow. The more you disobey, the harder it is to hear God's voice. You become dull to his voice. But when you obey and it works, and you obey and it works, you get more and more confident of the voice of God. I said to the staff this morning, I don't have time to talk about that. I wish I did. We need to move on though. So it's a way to exercise faith and yield to God. Learn to exercise faith and yield to God. Acts chapter 2:4. The Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke. They yielded their tongue. As the Spirit gave them the words, they spoke. How did they speak? As the words came. You know, some people, and this will help you in your prayer life, speaking in other tongues, don't expect to have a whole paragraph from the Lord of words in tongues before you start speaking. I rarely know what's going to come out of my mouth next. It's almost a at the moment thing that the Lord gives you the word. Amen. I never know the next, almost never know like what the next four words are going to be. Yesterday in our staff prayer, we took our time that we always do to pray in the Holy Ghost, and I started singing in tongues. And I started to laugh because I didn't think about, hey, I think I'm going to sing. So I laughed a little bit, you know, just got blessed. And so I said, well, praise the Lord. And I started to go to speak in tongues again, and I was singing this song. And it sounded like an old hymn. I have no idea. It was just, it came out in song. I didn't expect to sing. I think I'll sing in tongues right now. You can by your will to do it, but when you yield to the Holy Spirit, amen. And the more you yield, the more he can use you. Hallelujah. And so it's a great way to exercise your faith. Build yourself up on your most holy faith from Jude verse 20 and then yield to God. It said in Acts 2 that they spoke as he gave them utterance. The Weymouth translation said it this way. According as the Spirit gave them words to utter. According as the Spirit gave them words to utter. All right? The Young's literal translation said, as the Spirit was giving them to declare. So he will give you the words and then you speak it out. So as those words come out, you just give voice to those words by moving your tongue, your lips, your vocal cord. It's you that does it, but it's the Lord that gives you the utterance. As the Spirit was giving them to declare. All right, and then number five, quickly. Praying in other tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost, makes us constantly aware of his indwelling presence in our lives. When you pray in other tongues, it makes you constantly aware of his indwelling presence. We could say this also, it makes you more aware that God is with you and in you. And this is really a good thing for your Christian walk with the Lord. Praying in tongues should now be becoming a regular part of your devotional prayer life. And as you pray in tongues, you know that utterance is coming from the inside, out of your belly. That river is flowing. And when you know that, you just realize more and more, God's with me. God's here. Helps you become more aware of him. And when you're more and more aware that God is with you, it'll change the way you talk. It'll change the way you act. It'll change the places you go. It'll change how you treat people. Amen. If God would physically manifest himself to you, you would change a lot of things that you would do. You know, we use the statement, what would Jesus do? Well, that's a good thought. That keeps you aware. Think what Jesus would do about this. What would he say? Where would he? But what about if you really had the revelation of the reality that is already true, that God was with you all the time? Remember what we said about David the psalmist? He said, darkness and light are the same to you. If I go up into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, you're there. Now, God, just like we said this morning, when we gather in his name, he's here. But that can either be manifesting more or less. Well, the reality is you are the temple of the Holy Ghost all the time. But are you aware of that all the time? Is it real to you? Do you think about that all the time? Like we said, Smith Wigglesworth looked in the mirror every morning and said, God's in that man, just to remind himself. And it'll change the way you talk and it'll change the way you act. I'll give you my own personal testimony. When I was in university, I've already shared with you, I backslid for 4 years. And during that time, I decided to play football. I don't know what time the bell's going to ring, but anyways, we'll probably end with this. And I always wanted to play football. I always played soccer and basketball, and I ran track. But I never got to play football because our school didn't have it. So when I went to university, I played 2 years of basketball, got sick of basketball, and I said, hey, this is my last chance in life to ever play American football. So I went out for the team my junior year. So I've never had pads on. I'm 20 years old. They had to show me how to put my pads on. Anyways, during that time, I played defense, and I loved the physicalness of football. I loved hitting people. And the contact, because all my other sports, you avoid contact. Basketball, all you foul. I fouled out a lot in basketball. You hit somebody, you know, you're in trouble. Soccer, you can't really, you can slide tackle, and we did a lot of that. But other than that, you can't do too much of that. And track and field, well, there's no football. I loved it. I think I was born to play football, but I didn't play that much. But I just loved hitting people. And so somehow I had some bad language earlier in my life, and I swore a little bit. But when I started playing football, I swore a lot. And nowadays, when I hear people swear, I know I used to say those words, and I think, man, that is disgusting. I can't believe I used to be like that. But I really got in the habit of cussing a lot. And I even went to a Christian university. That's a sadder part of the story yet. But I cussed a lot when I played football. And I would, you know, not really, you know, at people that much, but more just in my mind, in my thinking, I just cuss a lot. To where it got to be part of my language. You know, like if there wasn't a cuss word every once in a while, then I wasn't really speaking clearly, you know. You know, how many of you know it? You guys are looking at me like you never said a swear in your whole life. Anybody ever had cussing problems? All right, praise God, thank you. A little support here this morning. So I got to cussing bad, and that wasn't good. But then when I got back hooked up with the Lord and got my fellowship and my relationship with the Lord straightened out, I went to Rhema. And I wasn't cussing out loud that much anymore, but I still was cussing in my mind all the time. It was such a part of such a, you know, you got to renew your mind. It had become a way of thinking for me to have cuss words in my thinking. And if something bothered me, I cuss under my breath. And something bothered me, I cuss at the taxi driver. I cuss at this, I cuss at that. And it started to really bother me. I mean, I just said, Lord, you got to help me with this. I'm not going to cuss anymore. I'm not going to think about cuss words anymore. And I couldn't get over it. I mean, it was a habit. I struggled mightily with it. I felt horrible about it. I cuss a lot in my mind. Now, I'm not doing it out, but I'm doing it in my head. It's bothering me. Can anybody feel me this morning? All right. So what did you... This is the thing that has set me free. I started yielding my tongue to the Holy Ghost. I started praying, and I became more and more aware of his presence. More aware that he's right there all the time. David said, you know every word that's on my tongue before I even say it. And I just started praying in the Holy Ghost, and I found I'm not cussing as much outwardly, but I'm not. Habits you want to get rid of that you haven't been able to shake off. You prayed about it, you cried about it, you went into the altar about it, and you're still doing it or still thinking it. I challenge you to take this advice. Pray in the Holy Ghost 30 minutes a day out loud. Now that would be by yourself. Speaking in tongues, not screaming in tongues, speaking in tongues. Amen. And just see if it makes a difference. Raise your hand if you want to be honest this morning. Say, I have a habit I want to get over. Now that's a bunch. I challenge you to pray in the Holy Ghost half an hour a day, 30 minutes, to where you can hear yourself talking. It's going to change your thinking. You're going to become more aware of His presence, and you're going to stop doing that stuff. I bet you. I know I'm not a betting man. We're not supposed to be bettors, you know. But anyways, if you've tried everything else, try this. You know, sometimes the Lord says this. He says this with tithing. Prove me in this. God's saying, I dare you to tithe and see what I'll do. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Sometimes you just got to try Him. Try the Word. Just give it a go and see what the Word will do in your life. Amen? So taste and see. Prove God in this and let me know. Come up and say, Brother Dunnick, you know what? You said that and I've been, you don't have to even tell me what it was, but you said, I had this thing I couldn't get over, and thank God, it's gone. Woo, glory. You won't even miss it. It'll just drop off you. Amen. God's as big as He's ever going to get, but when we give place to Him, He gets bigger in our life, in our eyes, and in our heart. Amen. All right. Well, I'm thinking the bell's going to ring here soon. Just go over these things. You're going to want to know who the Holy Spirit is, the third person of the Trinity. Go through your notes. Look at what we said, the work of the Holy Spirit within. You're going to want to know those seven workings of the Holy Spirit in us, the Paraclete. Our comforter, our helper, strengthener, standby, all those. Also, remember, we never call the Holy Spirit it. It's Him. And so there's going to be a true and false question somewhere on the test that refers to the Holy Spirit as it. When you see that, mark it wrong no matter what it says. Okay, there's going to be a true and false question somewhere in the middle of your exam, and the Holy Spirit is going to be, I'm going to say, something like this, God sent it to us instead of Him. Just mark it wrong. It's somewhere in the middle. The word it is even capitalized in that sentence. It's a true and false question, and if you get it wrong, it's your own fault. Amen. So that's all I can say without telling you which number it is. The Holy Spirit within. Then we talked about the Holy Spirit upon us. Remember those two workings? The Holy Spirit within us in the new birth and what? Upon us in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is for others, for service, to empower us. The Holy Spirit within us is for us. Okay? Then we talked about the examples. And then we begin to talk about tongues as the initial evidence, ongoing experience, and tongues and interpretation, the scriptural purposes of tongues. Remember that. Remember that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is for Christians, for believers. And you speak in tongues after you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost. Then you're going to want to remember these five benefits of speaking in other tongues. Remember the five benefits we just finished today. Also remember that the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say, but you need to speak it out. He will not force you. The Holy Spirit doesn't force us to speak in tongues. He prompts us. He leads us. He gives us the utterance. Also remember the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit was not available in the Old Testament. Only available since the day of Pentecost. All right. Remember to finish up your reading so that you can joyfully and truthfully and honestly say, yes, I completed my reading for this class, the assigned reading for this class, all of it. All right. When are we going to be done? We got more time? Almost? About 5 minutes? Okay. Is somebody in there? Or just you? Okay. Oh, man. Let me page through here just to make sure if there's anything else. Remember that the word paraclete, the comforter, that one called alongside to help us. Oh, one last thing. This will be great. We said that we were going to give you what the values of speaking in other tongues, the benefits. That's what tongues includes. That's what tongues is for. Now, some people say, well, we're going to do spiritual warfare, and we're going to yell at the devil in tongues for an hour. The Bible said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. So when I'm speaking in tongues, I'm not speaking to you, I'm not speaking to men, I'm not speaking to the devil, I'm not speaking to a demon. Amen. See, to say that when you pray in tongues that you're, you know, yelling at the devil and doing spiritual warfare, that's not scriptural. That's outside the written word of God, so we don't teach it as a doctrine. Amen. And so that would be saying that we do spiritual warfare in tongues and yell at the devil for an hour and a half. That there's no scripture for that. So that's outside the written word. Amen. I said amen. Now, you might be praying and the Lord is prompting you, and you pray about something real strong. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. The Lord can prompt you. But to say that when you pray in tongues, you're yelling at the devil or you're commanding the devil to do something, that there's no scripture for that. That's unscriptural. When there's no scripture for something and you teach it as a doctrine, then you're being unscriptural. Amen. It's outside the scope of the Word of God to say that. And so we don't teach that. We don't promote that. No, the Bible says when you speak in an unknown tongue, you speak not unto men, but unto God in the Spirit. You're speaking divine secrets with God. By the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so that's just something I want to mention, that to say that would be outside the scope, outside the boundary of the Word of God. Amen. Now, there are some experiences in prayer that you will have, but you don't teach experiences for doctrine. What you teach is the doctrine of the Word of God, and then your experiences line up with the Word. Amen. All right. So, we want to stay within the scope of the Word of God, and we showed what am I doing? I'm worshiping. Sometimes it's a help in prayer. As I do it, I'm building myself up. I'm exercising my faith. I'm learning to yield to God. I'm becoming more aware of His indwelling presence. All these are within the scope of the written Word of God. Anything else is outside the scope of the Word of God. So, we've had a great class. I just say this. As a class, I think we've made the longest journey of any of the classes we've had in this subject. Amen. And that's a good thing. From where we started with to what we've now completed in this class, I believe that you've come a long way in your understanding. We've gone to the Word of God. We've looked at tons and tons of scriptures to see what the Word of God has to say about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, both in us, to us as believers, but then the power of God coming upon us, anointing us to have that power to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Next week, we're going to teach a whole week. Our whole week is going to be dedicated to a topic called understanding the anointing. And so we're going to get further understanding about what we got when we got the Holy Ghost. We got power to be a witness. We're going to talk about what is that power. Amen. What is the anointing and the power of God? Amen. But we wanted to get you started, get you foundation in all these things, get you the opportunity to be filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues and understanding that aspect of it. But there's more to the Holy Spirit and the baptism than speaking in tongues only. There's also that power to be a witness. Amen. Jesus didn't say you will receive tongues after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He said you receive power. Now, tongues is part of the baptism. It's the initial evidence. Amen. But there's also much more to the baptism in the Holy Spirit than speaking in tongues alone. That's a great help and a wonderful benefit. But there's also power on you now and power in your life to do what God's called you to do and be a blessing to the world. Amen. So that's what we'll get into next week. God bless you. You're dismissed.
This audio podcast is provided to you free of charge by the partners of Kelly Dunnick Ministries. For more information about this ministry and Rhema South Pacific, go to www.kellydunnick.org today. Thank you for listening.